If you would, go ahead and open in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. I'm trying something new. I'm preaching from my iPad. At least I'm using it for my Bible. So, Sean, I have a Pew Bible handy just in case. Galatians chapter 5. It's, it's the day before 4th of July. It's one of my favorite holidays. The flags, all the patriotism. Being a former Marine, every time I just, the music, the sights, everything, it just gets me excited. Hear the Marines hymn at things, and it just brings a tear to my eye. It was a blessing, and I'm thankful for the Schoenwetters allowing me to take part in Jeff's service. You know, I didn't know Jeff that well. I basically knew him a few times talking to him at Walk Through Bethlehem and up in the balcony when I used to usher. He would come by, and he really touched my heart when he found out I was another Marine. And he came walking up one day, and I've carried it ever since. In fact, if I don't find it, I go searching until I do. One of the biggest things in the Marine Corps, and I'm sure the other branches, we had challenge coins. And you had to carry it around with you wherever you went. And if somebody challenged you and you didn't have it, you had to do 50 push-ups. Now, if they challenged you and you did have it, didn't matter the rank, they had to do 50 push-ups. So that was kind of the thing. So he comes walking up, and he gives me this challenge coin. And it wasn't like normal, just blank kind of ones that we got. Now, this one's colorful, the whole deal. And on one side's the Marine Corps emblem, and on the other is Ephesians chapter 6 and the armor of God. And what a blessing. Here it is. I didn't know him. I didn't know him that well. We didn't hang out together. But he's a fellow brother in arms, brother in Marines. And it just shows you the bond that we have through the freedom that we have in this country. And what this was, great token of just friendship and a reminder of what Christ has given us, and he'll strengthen us. But now it's a continued reminder of that bond that I have with all my fellow Marines, no matter whether I know them or not. You know, in April of 1775, some skirmishes broke out between some British troops and some colonial militiamen in Lexington and Concord. And those skirmishes right there is what set off the American Revolution. And as a result, we celebrate the 4th of July, our independence. The war would last until 1779, when it was officially ended, even though the fighting would go on until 1783. And folks, listen, these weren't the colonial militiamen weren't trained fighters. These were common folk, farmers, printmakers, candle makers, just regular folk. And they were facing against the superpower of the day, the British Empire. How could they do that? How could they do that? You know, you learn about that in school, and I grew up knowing about it and being all excited about it. But I kind of took it for granted. You know, I know there's some tough times here in America, but compared to the rest of the world, we have it easy. We have it easy. You know, we've got the freedom here to worship. We have the freedom here to put on Walk Through Bethlehem. Folks, you can't put on Walk Through Bethlehem in China. You can't do that. And I kind of took that for granted. And it wasn't until 1993, I take that back, 1994, I was stationed at Camp Lejeune, and I just got back from Burger King. It was a Saturday morning. Back at base, nothing going on, got back from Burger King, and I heard my name come across the PA in the barracks and said, "You need to come down to the common hall right away." And I got down there, and our gunnery sergeant is there, and there was a couple other guys in my unit, and he said, "Here's your list. You need to pack your bags. Be ready to go by tomorrow." I said, "Where we're going?" He says, I don't know all the details, has something to do with Cuba. I was like, wow. This is kind of exciting, kind of scary. You know, I missed Desert Storm. I went in the Marine Corps the year after Desert Storm. So, you know, you do all this training, you want to be able to utilize it. So I got all excited, and by the next day, our whole battalion got mobilized. And what it was is it was Operation Able Vigil. And Operation Able Vigil was a collection of security teams established through the Army, but primarily the Marine Corps and the Navy. And what it was is Castro opened the doors. And he said, if you can make it to Florida, go for it. Go for it. Opened the doors. He also opened up all his prisons and said, go. There was literally thousands of people floating out in the ocean between Cuba and Florida. I was part of a security team of 12 Marines on board a Coast Guard cutter. In the course of 30 days, we helped rescue over 800 people from the ocean. Folks, these were people that would strap inner tubes to a refrigerator and put a family of 9 people on it and float out. These were people that would take pallets and put inner tubes on it, logs, anything they could to try and get to freedom. There was times that we would come up to rafts that had no people. They didn't survive the storm from the night before. I talked to a family that watched their father slip away, taken by sharks. I finally realized on that day what freedom really is. I realized here are people who weren't born in this country, who were willing to risk everything they had to get to freedom, to get to freedom. You know, I grew up with it. I grew up with it. You know, I had the whole world ahead of me. And I came face to face what true freedom is. And that's what our founding fathers fought for. That's what all those farmers, those candle makers, those common folk, it's what they fought for way back in 1775. They fought for that kind of freedom. And folks, we may be free citizens of the United States, but I'm telling you, there are literally thousands of people out there still caught in slavery and caught in bondage. There's people sitting right here tonight that I know are caught in slavery and caught in bondage. They may be free U.S. citizens, but they're slaves to addiction, to fear, to discouragement, and they struggle to find that freedom from that turmoil. And listen, tonight, from this simple little verse, it's not a big passage, it's one verse, there is so much hope offered simply right here. One little verse out of God's Word, there's so much hope. And tonight we're going to find out that true freedom isn't found in a constitution, okay? It's not found in a piece of paper. It's not found in some physical battle that you're going to wage. It's simply found in a relationship. It's found in Jesus Christ alone. So tonight we're going to see how can we find this freedom that is in Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for this evening. And Lord, I want to thank you so much for all the men and the women out there fighting for our freedom. Lord, I pray to just lift them up to you. I pray for their protection. I pray for their guidance. Lord, I pray for the families that are supporting them alone, back home, wondering how they're doing. Lord, I pray for their comfort and their encouragement. Lord, I pray that this evening that we'll just be respectful and get excited again for the freedom that we've been given here in this country. Lord, I pray that we will just be willing and eager and humble before you tonight to learn and grow from your word, to see where that true freedom comes from, and it's only from you, Lord. Pray, Lord, tonight for just your humble wisdom, Lord, to fill me. Set Shannon aside, Lord, and pray that you'll just use me tonight as your tool to share your truth. Help us all, Lord, to just take your word and get it in our hearts, to rest in that freedom you've given us. And Lord, help us to be that shining light for you out in this dark world. So that even though if the day comes that our freedoms here in this country are taken away, we can still shine forth the freedom you've given us. And I thank you so much for your word and your sacrifice on the cross. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. How can you find freedom in Christ? Look down at Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Paul writes to the Galatians here, he says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." The first principle I want you to get tonight is, how are you going to find freedom in Christ? Well, first, it's by trusting in the freedom that Christ gives you. You got to trust in that freedom that He's given you. Right in the middle of this verse is an awesome phrase. I mean, this phrase right here, when I read it, just got me all excited. It says, "Christ hath made us free." Did you get that? Did it say Christ might make you free? No, it says Christ hath made us free. That "hath" is "has." It's happened. Listen, when you're in Christ, it's not something you can just hope for. It's happened. He's given it to you. That phrase there, "made free," means to liberate, to set free, to set at liberty from something. That means at one point in time over here, you were in bondage. All right? You're in slavery. But you've been liberated. You've been made free. You've been set free from that bondage, whatever it is. Your sin, your struggles. It's what He did on the cross. He liberated you from that sin. Listen, the context here is the fact that the Galatians had come to Christ when Paul came and preached, and they trusted in Him, and they were just excited in their freedom. And some guys came along and started telling them, no. No, it's not just in Christ. You got to be under the law. You got to be circumcised. You got to follow all these rules. And Paul's saying, no. Aren't you listening to what I told you? He has set you free. You're no longer under the bondage of the law. The law was only there to show you that you're sinful. But now you're free because you're in Christ. Listen, when you're in Christ, He sets you free from that penalty of your sin. You know, for the wages of sin is what? It's death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. So before you had sin and death, but Christ had set you free from that sin and death, and now you have eternal life. Romans 6:14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." That means lordship. That means control. It'll not have control or lordship over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. Grace. Romans 8:2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Listen, you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've got freedom. The moment you accept, you are set free from that sin. You are no longer a slave to that. You're set free. And that freedom is eternal. It means it'll go on forever. It's not something that all of a sudden you trip and fall and, oh man, I got to work for it again. No, it's eternal. It's set. That day you trusted Christ, He saved you from the penalty of your sin, and it was forever destroyed. That dominion, that lordship of sin over you was forever cast aside. Listen, sin shall not have dominion over you. You're made free. You're liberated from that control. That sin does not have to control you anymore. Listen, this is a fact. The Bible says so. Paul wrote to them, he said, Christ hath made us free. That's something you can trust in. That's something you can take to the bank. Don't believe the lies, all right? When people or the thoughts or Satan's telling you things that you're a failure. See, you messed up again. That's right, I did. But I'm free. And I'm going to rest in that freedom. I'm going to rest in that freedom. You got to trust in that. Don't let anyone else tell you otherwise. This is God's word. This is God's word. God telling you you're free. Believe nothing else. Believe nothing else. Listen, if you're going to find freedom in Christ, you got to trust. You got to trust in that freedom He's given you. But the second thing is you got to find your strength. All right, how are you going to find freedom in Christ? Is by finding your strength to persevere in Christ. Listen, troubles abound in this world. Turn on the news. All right? It's everywhere. Trouble's everywhere. Walk out the door, and there's trouble. Sometimes I think the alarm goes off. There's trouble. I want to just put the sheets back over my head. And listen, you may be in the midst of a struggle right now. You may be hurting. You may be going, you're talking freedom, but I don't get it. All I see is just trouble all around me. You may be just struggling with an addiction right now. And folks, an addiction isn't just drugs, alcohol, and pornography. You know, I mentioned it before. I knew a guy who could name every sports team, every player on every sports team, including water polo, but he couldn't tell you his son's birthday. Listen, he's placing something in the wrong priority. All an addiction is something that you have placed a higher priority on above God. That's what an addiction is. It could be your kids, it could be the TV, it could be shopping. Could be food. It's anything. And you could be struggling right now, wondering, how can I be free from this? And you can go down to your local bookstore, all right, and get the self-help book. They come out new every 3 months or so. You can try and pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You know, I never knew really what a bootstrap was until I started watching Little House. That was the goofiest looking things I ever saw. They're just flopping around everywhere they go. And I'm like, that's a bootstrap. Why would you want to trust in that thing flopping around everywhere? You can try and do that. You can try on your own effort. I know, I have. Those of you that were in my Bible Institute class, Hot Topics, got to hear a lot of my testimony. You know, I spent 6 months... believer in Christ, stuck in bondage, because I let discouragement and fear and pride get a hold of me. And instead of turning to the source of true freedom, I knew it. I kept saying, well, you know, if I just stop going here, or if I start doing this, if I just hang out by myself for a while, I can overcome it. And I never did. I never did until I said, God, I can't take this anymore. I know I'm supposed to be honoring you, and I'm not. I'm worthless, but I know you can do it through me, Lord. I know you can do it through me. You have to find your strength to persevere in Christ. I can do all things through who? Christ. Which strengtheneth me. It's Christ that's going to give you the strength. Listen, you're never going to find that lasting freedom in the world's philosophy. And attempting to gain freedom through your own strength is only going to lead to further failure. You're going to keep stumbling and falling. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6 say, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Acknowledge him. Acknowledge God. Listen, ask Shauna, I'm full of worthless knowledge in my head. It didn't help me. I finally came to the realization that my knowledge is stupid. That nothing can compare to what God has to give me. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Paul writes here in Galatians chapter 1, he says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free." He says, not only do you need to just trust in the fact that Christ has made you free, you need to stand fast in that liberty. That phrase, stand fast, means to stand firm, to persevere, to not be moved. It's like that tree in a hurricane that's blowing and it's bending, but it's not breaking. You know, back in the American Revolution, everybody knows the Battle of Bunker Hill. I think we've all heard of that. Fought outside Boston. It actually was fought on Breed's Hill. But I think Bunker Hill has a more propaganda type name. That's probably why they did it. There's only a little skirmish on Bunker Hill. But in the Battle of Bunker Hill, that's the battle where you hear the famous, "Don't fire until you see the whites of their eyes." Means wait till they get close. Make every shot count. But now listen to this. There was 1,200 colonial militiamen on the hills overlooking Boston. They could see the city from the hilltops. They could see all the British ships coming into port. And on those British ships were soldiers. Professional soldiers. These were the top-notch military power in the world at that day. British soldiers and British Royal Marines were coming off of those ships, getting right into column and marching out of Boston and coming to that hill. They were completely and totally outnumbered. It would be as if you had on this side the 2nd Marine Division. And over here, you had the Cub Scouts. Okay? You know? That's the equivalent. Folks, I'm betting on the, you know, we're going to go over here with the 2nd Marine Division. But no, that's what happened. But they stood. They persevered. They stood fast. It took the British three times to march up that hill. They lost nearly a third of the number going up. Why? Because this little group of Cub Scout colonial militiamen stood their ground. Listen, when Christ has made you free, Paul writes here to them, he says, stand fast. Don't sway. Don't let anyone else convince you otherwise. Listen, just like those colonial troops stood, you got to stand fast in the liberty that Christ has given you. Hold your place here. Go over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You're familiar with verses 31 through 39. We'll hit a couple of these. Just want to look at. Verse 31 says, "What shall we say then, or what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" You got God on your side. Who can be against us? He goes on in verse 35. He asks, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And he goes on to list all these things. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, sword. Verse 37, he says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors." And he goes on to say, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels And he goes on and he says, shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing, nothing will be able to separate you from God's love. So stand fast. Stand fast. If you want that lasting freedom, you got to trust, you got to rest in the freedom that Christ has given you. And you got to search for your strength. Find it in Christ alone. He'll strengthen you. The third point, you want to find that freedom? You find it by fleeing your old sinful habits. Go back to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And then he says, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't be entangled again. And listen, maybe you're sitting out there and you're going, you know what? That sounds great. I'm in Christ, but I'm still struggling. I know I was faithful once, but I fell away. I backslid. What's up? The Bible says here, don't be entangled again with that yoke of bondage. Don't go back to it. Too many believers are still, they got that ball of chain, and they're just walking around. That bondage is holding on to them. Here they are, they've been given every bit of freedom, and they're focusing on this bondage. This bondage. It's not even shackled. That they can take it off any minute. It's right there, but they just keep, it's just on. Well, why don't you bend down and pull it off? Well, I don't know. Maybe I'll hurt myself if I bend over. That's what it's like. You got freedom right there. It's like sticking your hand in a fire. No, my hand is burning. Well, pull it out. I don't know. Well, I do. Pull it out. Flee from your old sinful habits. Don't drag it around. Don't go right back. Don't go right back to that mess. Don't be like the Bible says, the dog that goes back to its vomit. Leave it there. Leave it there. Listen, that phrase there, to be tangled again, to be entangled again, that's basically to get put right back in the snare. It's like a fish that gets free from the net and swims right back in. You know, the bear that's released from that bear trap and steps its paw right back down in there. It means you purposely went back into the trap. You saw it, you knew what it was going to do, but you kept moving forward anyways. Well, maybe it won't snap shut this time. Let me tell you, every single time you do that, that trap is going to snap shut again. It's going to snap shut again. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24 says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. He's telling you, put it off. Put off the old. Don't live like that anymore. And put on Jesus Christ. What that means is you have the capability of making those choices. Every time you wake up in the morning, you can decide, am I going to serve Christ and trust in Him today? Or I'm going to take this route and decide all that sinful action and live in the flesh. You have the choice every day. And I know it's hard. I know it can be extremely difficult, but that's what's great about Christ. He's already done the hard part for you. There's no way any single one of us could have gone on that cross and paid the penalty for the sin. Only Christ could. All we got to do is just trust in Him and just yield our lives to Him. Say, Lord, my life is yours. And flee away from those old habits. Look down at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This is a great verse. This is another one. We could have preached on this one too. He says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and say this last part with me, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's very simple. If you'll walk in the Spirit, yielded to Christ, you won't fulfill that lust of the flesh. Man, when that flesh just starts tugging at you, saying, come on, don't you miss the good old days. And those good old days aren't good old. You miss those good old days. You start going, yeah, I remember I had a lot of fun. You start forgetting all the bad side. And you start going, yeah. Listen, you're making that choice to walk in the flesh. But it says if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill that lust. Someone says, come back to the good old days. You go, no. The Lord doesn't want me to do that. This is what the Lord wants me to do. I'm going to get in His Word. I'm going to trust His Word. I'm going to say, Lord, you strength, give me the strength. I'm going to focus on you no matter how hard it may hurt. That's walking in the Spirit. You won't fulfill that. Folks, the day my dad died, November 3rd, 2010, after all the smoke cleared and I got off of mission mode, the first thing that came to my mind was, I want to go get a case of beer and a carton of cigarettes and just do nothing. That's what popped in my head. That was my pastime years ago. And I said, No, that is going to do no good. It's not what the Lord wants me to do. I am not going to get trapped in that bondage again. And I decided, Christ, you got to help me here. I feel the pressure, but I know your strength will get me through. And I didn't buy that case of beer. I didn't buy that carton of cigarettes. Folks, the only reason why I'm standing here before you tonight is because I finally said, Shannon Dad can't do it anymore. Christ has got to do it through me. And listen, I'm not trying to lift myself up. That's the last thing that I want to do tonight. I simply want you all to know, if you're struggling or you know somebody who is, freedom can be found. But it's freedom in Christ that's going to do it. And folks, just like those colonial militiamen up on Bunker Hill, we're not professional soldiers, okay? They may have lost that battle, but they didn't surrender. They regrouped. They reorganized. They refocused, and they fought again. And that's why we're able to preach openly here. That's why we're able to worship. They weren't professional soldiers. You don't have to be a life group teacher to have this freedom. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a biblical counselor. You just got to trust in Christ. Let Him rule your heart. Let Him rule your life. Get in His Word. Spend time in prayer with Him. Get in fellowship with other believers that'll help you grow. You don't have to have a degree in theology to do that. You got to choose, though, to remove yourself from those sinful habits. Listen, I want to conclude tonight by encouraging you out there. If you're struggling, don't quit. Don't quit. It's the reason why in September we're going to be starting Freedom Found Ministry. And it's for those that are struggling with addictions. And listen, Freedom Found Ministry isn't going to set you free, okay? If you're looking for some magic thing that you're going to come and go through a certain number of lessons, all right, or memorize some verses, and you're going to be free, that's not what Freedom Found is. We're going to teach you the Bible. We're going to teach you how Jesus Christ has already set you free, and He'll help you walk in the Spirit. He'll help you overcome those struggles and those trials. But He can start right now. He can start right now. Listen, don't let embarrassment or shame or pride keep you from seeking help. Let me tell you what, the most important thing you could do right now is come and seek help. Listen, don't feel afraid or think that someone in the church is going to ridicule you. That's far from the truth. That's Satan telling you lies. Paul tells us to weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. Man, seek help. Seek help. Don't let embarrassment or pride keep you from seeking the help that you need. Listen, God's truth is the key. You need to be in it daily and get in fellowship. And listen, Paul says here, Christ has made you free. You need to trust in that freedom. All right? He says, stand fast, therefore, in that liberty. Once you trust in that freedom, once you trust in Christ, stand fast, stand firm, don't move. Don't let any kind of lie sway you away. And then he says, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't go back to those old habits. Change them. If something's going to lead you astray, go away. If that internet is going to get you looking at stuff you shouldn't, turn it off. In fact, get rid of the computer. You can still survive in this world without it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. You can find that freedom, but it's only in Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you again for your word. And Lord, I thank you again for this opportunity to just learn and grow together as brothers and sisters in Christ in your word. And Lord, I pray that we'll just seek that freedom that you've given us and we'll trust in it. And we won't believe any kind of lies that come our way. That we'll just get in your word and seek your truth.